Is India's Defence Research and Development Organisation set for an overhaul, a tweak, or some cosmetic changes? Those are the questions I have discussed in my weekly podcast on Strat News Global. Take a listen. DRDO, or Defence Research and Development Organisation, formed way back 66 years ago, in 1958 to be precise, is all set for a revamp. A committee headed by former Principal Scientific Advisor to the Prime Minister, K. Vijay Raghavan, and comprising people or experts from the three armed forces, academia, as well as from private defense industry in India, have given a full report after talking to all stakeholders and have recommended several tectonic changes in the functioning and the end objective for DRDO. If the government accepts the report in toto, or even if 90% of those recommendations are implemented, we are going to see a new DRDO in a different avatar from what it has been so far in the past 6 decades. So what are the big changes that are being envisaged? I'll come to that in a moment. But why was it felt necessary that DRDO should change, and DRDO needs an upgrade and a restructuring or a revamp, and even maybe breaking up DRDO into different functions which can be assigned to a set of people nominated by the government? It was felt that the change was necessary because the DRDO has been undertaking a lot of projects on behalf of the armed forces, or has been offering the armed forces several projects in various formats, like missiles and radars and underwater expertise, even rockets, ammunition, all that the DRDO has been offering to the armed forces. 900 odd projects the DRDO does or has as we speak, which are in various stages of development, not fully completed, but in various stages of development. Now, the committee which was constituted by the government, quite high powered, as I mentioned, actually found out that 57% of the delays, and DRDO is known for its delays, you would have read several reports, several commentaries, analysis, that DRDO is actually a laggard. The armed forces keep complaining, and DRDO keeps complaining in turn about the mismatch between armed forces expectations and DRDO's delivery, all that. So the committee actually went into details and quantified the delays and what caused the delays in these projects. So it found that 57% of the delays in DRDO projects was caused by DRDO's internal problems. Either they had did not have sufficient expertise, they did not have proper management teams, or the technology was not available. For whatever reasons, 57% of the projects were delayed because of DRDO's own issues, own mistakes, own problems. 17 to 18% of the projects were delayed, the committee found out, because of the tendency amongst the users, the end users, the armed forces, of changing the specs or the specifications of the equipment that they have asked for from the DRDO. So the next biggest chunk was from the armed forces, or because of the armed forces mistakes. Now, these delays were costing the country enormously, because DRDO was not able to deliver on time, or because the projects that DRDO and armed forces were working together were getting delayed beyond imagination. Some projects have gone on for 12 years, some have gone for 18 years. I'm not talking about the light combat aircraft Tejas, which is the example which is always cited by people, but other smaller and significant projects. So therefore, the committee said, since this is the problem, we'll have to overcome this problem first. There are 6,700 employees in DRDO, according to the committee. 41 labs that the DRDO runs in various segments, from aero engines to radars and missiles and electronics, and all this is spread all over the country. But the other thing which was well known amongst the people who know the DRDO or work with the DRDO was, to the committee's surprise, 50% of the R&D budget or research and development budget went to labs, DRDO labs located in Hyderabad and Bangalore, just two cities. And therefore, they found that there was a skewed advantage to MSMEs and to scientists and development partners located in these two cities. It kind of became a kind of cozy arrangement between DRDO labs in these two cities and some of the people who work in that ecosystem. Now, that being the case, the committee said that this needs to change, and therefore the functioning of the DRDO itself needs to change is what the committee has come up with. It has recommended, as you would have read in some of the reports, it has recommended formation of what it calls the Defence Technology Council to be chaired or headed by Prime Minister himself. And its prominent members would be the National Security Advisor, the Raksha Mantri, by post, not by name, but by the appointment. So, National Security Advisor, Raksha Mantri, the three chiefs of the armed forces, and of course the CDS, Principal Scientific Advisor, of course, in this case right now, Professor Ajay Kumar Sood, and of course, all you know all the names of the chiefs and the CDS and the Defence Minister or the Raksha Mantri and the NSA. They would be the members from the government side. They would be, in addition, representation from academia and industry, with two members each, as has been reported by Indian Express, I think. But even otherwise, the 9-member Vijay Raghavan panel has come up with several other detailed recommendations, which will hopefully change the functioning and the effectiveness and the delivery of DRDO. And what are they? They have said that the second rung under the National Defence Technology Council or the Defence Technology Council, there should be an executive committee which would be headed by the CDS or the Chief of Defence Staff. And the Chief of Defence Staff, when he convenes the meeting of that number two council, what projects to be taken up, which can be submitted to the apex body, then the CDS, the meetings will be attended by the vice chiefs of the armed forces. When the meeting is convened by the Prime Minister, the chiefs will attend, is what the arrangement has been thought about. And what they have now talked about is that this committee, the council, will have also representation from 34 of the 41 labs of the DRDO. So, these 34 labs are going to be divided into various clusters, if you want to call them, or groupings, according to the synergy between those labs. Now, already the clusters exist. There is an electronic cluster, there is a aero cluster, there is missiles cluster. Now, all of these clusters currently have director generals of the DRDO, senior most scientists, apart from the secretary DRDO, who head these clusters. Now, these 7 DGs or whatever the clusters are, they will actually get a seat on the second rung council, which is headed by the CDS. They will deliberate, they will give inputs, they will give advice on what projects to carry on and how to carry on those projects. So, they will be shifted upwards or moved upwards into that council. The clusters themselves will be headed by the senior most director amongst those 4 labs. So, for instance, if 4 labs make up for the aero cluster, the senior most directors of one of those labs will become the chief of that cluster, is what the committee has recommended. And therefore, what they have talked about is there will be the synergy that will be brought in as far as these clusters are concerned. Now, the other recommendations that are there is for DRDO's smoother functioning. Now, the smooth functioning, they found out, the committee found out, according to the reports or the recommendations, is that DRDO had stopped recruiting from colleges and the universities. So, they have recommended that they should go for specific recruitment from colleges and universities or IITs and IIMs if necessary, along with the way the private sector goes there. On-campus interviews, on-campus selection is a must, because otherwise what the committee felt was that DRDO was getting the people who were left behind, who did not get a job or a placement in private sector, would then necessarily, because they had no other alternative, come into DRDO, because they applied through the usual UPSC route or a separate advertisement route, and therefore they came to DRDO only after exhausting the options of joining the private sector. So therefore they are saying the DRDO should go to the campuses and compete with private sector for talent from IITs and IIMs. Scientist B, which is their entry point for scientists, they should also come from the technical colleges instead of promoting the lower rung cadre from DRDO into Scientist B and then hoping and expecting them to deliver. Is something that the DRDO must not do, is what the committee has said. And therefore, it is saying that you must look at the entire recruiting process, even the procurement process for materials should be different from what a typical government organization does through the government e-auction or GEM portal that is compulsory for other departments. The committee members found that the number of people who were sent for doing PhD or higher studies in scientific and technology courses from the DRDO has dropped significantly, because there is a fear of losing this talent. So what the committee has now said, that the seven labs out of those 41 which are going to be left behind after 34 are made into different clusters, should also be opened up for testing and use by private sector. So, for instance, the integrated test range or ITR in Chandipur should be allowed to be accessed by private sector when they want to do their firing practice or they want to test their newly made missiles or whatever. Something similar will happen with CEMILAC, is what the committee is recommended, that CEMILAC is the certification agency which gives certificate of standardization of equipment, and it has been seen or observed that CEMILAC and other such labs delay private sector participation or private sector projects willy-nilly, not necessarily because of malafide, and because the scientific manpower in the DRDO is less motivated, because there are less opportunities or there are not enough, there's not enough work which is of cutting edge. What the committee is recommending is that they can hire parallelly from the market, from the private sector, from the open market, PhDs and postgraduates, give them specific projects and give them an engagement period of 3 to 5 years. And after 5 years, 75% of those people can be allowed to go and 25% can be retained to remain in DRDO system. Much like the Agniveer system that has come into the three armed forces for recruitment of the soldiers, where 25% of the Agniveers recruited will be retained after assessing their performance, and the rest will be allowed to go out in back into the open market as it has been done. So similarly, the final point that needs to be made here is many of these reports which I've been talking about, the DRDO shutting down, are wrong. DRDO is not shutting down. DRDO is being restructured. DRDO is being made smarter, or smarter use of funds will be allowed or will be made to be done by the DRDO in the new structure according to the recommendations. And final point here that the committee has made is that DRDO must keep up with the modern necessities of working with the armed forces. So therefore, the armed forces also need to change their outlook, is what the committee has said, where they can work together, draw up a plan together, and then go only when the armed forces give a green signal, rather than doing something on their own or starting to develop some platform or equipment on their own and then going to the armed forces saying that we have this, has to change. So basically the point that is being made was that there should be more coordination, there should be more research and development rather than production or productionization of those research equipment that is being done by the DRDO, is what the committee has recommended. There is of course a word of caution that you cannot write off DRDO straight away, because some of the projects which are in national interest, which are secret, like the ASAT test that was done by the DRDO or the missiles program, has to remain in control of the government through the DRDO. And therefore, not everything that the committee may have recommended for the benefit of the private sector and benefit of the country is necessarily right, is what people who have scrutinized the report and who have taken a look at the recommendations have said. And therefore, that must be brought in, that word of caution, that not everything is wrong with DRDO, but it needs to be smarter, it needs to be modern, it needs to look at the future rather than continue business as usual, as it has been doing for the last so many years now. And therefore, it's a good, I would say, middle way that has been found, where you're not killing the DRDO, you're not throwing them to the wolves, like the OFB, the Ordnance Factory Board, which has been corporatized. There is no corporatization here. DRDO will continue to get its budget from the government or the funds from the government, but it needs to spend that budget or the funds smartly rather than letting it drift where results are or the delivery is not commensurate with what has been promised right at the beginning of that project. That's, I think, the key as far as the recommendations of the committee are concerned, and therefore it's a good first step in bringing the Indian defense sector into a position where it can deliver, it can plan, project, and finally co-produce with the Indian defense private sector industry. That's what the committee has actually said. Let's see how it pans out, whether the government will adopt the report or the recommendations immediately, whether it will wait for some more consultations. But overall, I think it's a good step, and therefore I thought I'll flag this for you. This is something that we must watch out for.